It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my king yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, let us see your face today, Jesus. Let everybody see your face in Jesus' name.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ari.
And I'm Angela.
And we are Girls Gone Bible. We are a faith-based podcast. We talk everything Christianity, Jesus, mental health, all your struggles. And we are a place that you can come and to just feel safe with us.
And you are our friends and we are your friends. And we're so happy you're here, especially today, because this is a day that we've been waiting for so long. Today is our Easter episode. When this episode comes out, it's going to be Good Friday. And in a couple days after that, it is Sunday. It's Easter. You guys, we're so excited to have this episode today. I think for the longest time, we've been wanting to talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus, because so many people are Christians and they don't know why Jesus died. We didn't even know why Jesus died for a long time. I've been a Christian my whole life. I knew he died for me. I didn't know why, you know?
Yeah, I had a moment when I was studying the story and I just was like, Because you, for some of you that are new here, I'm only a year. I got saved about a year ago, right, Ange? Yeah. And so I just had a moment of being like, it is so exciting that we can grow together in this. Like reading this story, so much of it was new to me. So it's just beautiful that we're just growing together and all of this and learning together.
I love it so much because it really is the most beautiful thing to have encounters with Jesus and accept Jesus, but then it's an entirely different thing to develop this hunger for his word and the gospel and the story. Like we are obsessed. You guys don't even understand. We've been studying for this episode for so long. And can I just say, I'm like getting so emotional the past couple of days reading about this, reading about Jesus. And just literally, I keep getting hit with the fact that we get to come on here, talk about Jesus, talk about the greatest story of all time, one of the most heartbreaking stories of all time, and equally the most incredible story. And we get to talk about it with you guys. We're so grateful. I love you. Thank you so much that you guys watch. We still don't understand why you watch, but we're so grateful. And we want to do right by you guys always. And our goal today is that you see Jesus. Like we want you to know Jesus, to see him, to experience him. And I pray that you guys literally have an encounter with Jesus today.
Yeah. I watched The Passion of the Christ on Friday. And it's so funny because I had watched it 2 years ago and I didn't understand anything. And I felt nothing when I watched it because I didn't know Jesus. And when I watched it Friday, I wish you guys could have been a fly on the wall when I was watching this. I was raging at the people that were hurting him. I encourage everyone to watch Passion of the Christ. It is the most incredible film you will ever watch. It will move you. You will understand things in a whole new way. I'm a very visual person, so actually seeing it and hearing the words was just, oh, you get ready, you guys, because it's amazing.
The first time I ever saw The Passion of the Christ, I was probably 2. My mom, my mom has made us watch The Passion of the Christ since I was a little child, every Easter, every Christmas. And it's just been the biggest blessing of my life because The Passion of the Christ is it's a movie that is literally all around. It's the gospel. It's about Jesus. It's from Mel Gibson directed it. And it's basically it's the Easter story. It's his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's when the guards took him. It's when he got arrested. It includes really graphic scenes. So of course, watch at your own discretion. I mean, it has graphic scenes of Jesus getting beaten, getting flogged, getting whipped, and it's absolutely soul crushing. I mean, when I watch it, I'm in pain. Like I'm literally, it's as if it just makes so much sense when it says that Jesus is in us and we are in them, because I swear as I'm watching him, of course I can't feel exactly what he's feeling, but it's as if he's in me, he's with me, and I feel what he's feeling. Like there's no other reason for us to have such a visceral reaction to like what's going on watching him being tortured like that. So definitely we recommend watching Passion of the Christ. You guys, it's Easter weekend. We want you guys to experience Easter in a completely different way than you ever have in your life. We want you guys to understand, just like Christmas, we hope that our Christmas episode maybe brought you into the spirit of Jesus and his birth story more than you have in the past, to know why we celebrate these things. You know,
it's not all bunnies.
It's not all bunnies.
It's not all bunnies. It's not bunnies, unfortunately, guys.
At all, or Easter eggs. It's, you know, that's like all good and fun for the kids and whatever. But
wait, why do they say, why do they bring bunnies?
It's pagan. I don't know the
spring.
Maybe. I know it's a pagan holiday. I don't know. You know, some theories say that it's just all a distraction to take away from Jesus, like the giving out the candies at Halloween, but we're not going to go there. should we just get into it? You guys, I just want to preface this by saying there's going to be a lot of reading today. And I'm going to pray. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit will meet every single one of us in our reading today. Jesus, make sure that we get rid of any distractions. You guys, turn your phones off if you can. Please don't get lost in this reading. I want you guys to hear every word that's spoken. There's 4 different accounts of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the 4 Gospels. And so we're going to try and take what we can from each. But just like really let yourself just saturate in the presence of God and really listen to everything.
Yeah. That's good that you say get off your phones, because I know when I can be watching some things, I'm scrolling while watching, and that is such a distraction. So just try to be off the phone.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, if you ever hear scripture, just out of respect for Jesus, it's always a good idea to stop what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So let me give a little backstory as to what's happening right now, you guys. At this point, Jesus is being handed over to the guards. We know that Judas, one of the 12 disciples, betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He predicted Judas's betrayal. He knew it was going to happen. I imagine it was still heartbreaking for Jesus that one of his closest would essentially do him like that. Jesus is talking to his disciples in John, and I just wanted to read a couple of verses because this is a massive thing that happened, his death and his resurrection. It's supernatural and absolutely something that we can't even comprehend. I'm just going to read, "Sadness will be turned to joy." In John 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "In a little while you won't see me anymore, but a little while after that you will see me again. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy." And then he says in chapter 17, "After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began." Everything that happened to Jesus, it was for a purpose. It was the plan all along, and it was to bring glory to the Father. So go ahead, Ar.
Beautiful. "Now Jesus was standing there before Pilate, the Roman governor. 'Are you the king of the Jews?' the governor asked him. Jesus replied, 'You have said it.' But when the leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. 'Don't you hear all the charges they are bringing against you?' Pilate demanded. But Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd, anyone they wanted. This year was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. As the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?' He knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. Jesus then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message, 'Leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night.' Meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. So the governor asked again, 'Which one of these two do you want me to release to you?' The crowd shouted back, 'Barabbas.' Pilate responded, 'Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?' They shouted back, 'Crucify him.' 'Why?' Pilate demanded. 'What crime has he committed?' But the mob roared even louder, 'Crucify him.' Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing, so he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, 'I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours.' And all the people yelled back, 'We will take responsibility for his death, we and our children.' So Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified."
The soldiers mock Jesus. "Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. and they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to be crucified. I just want to read from John really quickly because, you guys don't even understand that Jesus, when he got, so they call what they whipped him with, it's like a cat claw. It's like every single thing on it. It has like, I believe it's like 9 strands on this whip, and every single one of them has a claw so that when it hits you in the back, it latches onto you and then rips the skin off.
And so they did it from the back, and then they turned him around and did it in the front to him.
They absolutely, what he went through is something that is so unimaginable. I just want people, as gruesome as it is, to understand that what he went through is so bad, and we should carry the weight of that in us in a positive way every single day. I just want to read really quickly that everyone is saying, so many people are saying that Jesus is innocent because he was. And it says it here in Matthew that Pilate said he knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy because they were afraid of him. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew that he was innocent. And in John, he says, "Take him yourselves and crucify him," he said to the crowd. "I find him not guilty." The Jewish leaders replied, "By our law, he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God." He took Jesus back to the headquarters again and asked him, "Where are you from?" Jesus had no answer. "Why don't you talk to me? Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you?" Then Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it was given to you from above." So I just want everybody to remember that you can't kill God. Mm-hmm. This was not against God's will. This was not against Jesus's will. This was all according to the purpose and the plan. And that's the only reason why they took our Savior and they spit on him and they beat him and they hurt him the way that they did. The crucifixion. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and all the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. After they nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." 2 revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left, meaning that he had 2 people, as you guys have probably seen in photos. It's Jesus' cross in the middle, and then he has 2 on both sides. Both of them were thieves, murderers, people who were not innocent the way that Jesus was. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you're the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of the religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "You can't mock God. He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now and we will believe him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. The death of Jesus. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3:00. At about 3:00, Jesus called out with a loud voice. He said something in Aramaic that I don't know how to pronounce, but it means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God."
As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. and Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching.
The resurrection. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran into him. They ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Really quick, in Luke for the crucifixion, there's a part in here in Luke 23 when the two criminals were side by side with Jesus, everybody on the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, this is the famous quote from Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing."
It's my favorite.
One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong," says the other guy. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." I think a couple of things are so incredible from this text. First of all, people are just like in the beginning of time where Jesus got what he was tempted in the wilderness, and the enemy, Satan, said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread." He says to Eve in the beginning, "Did God really say that?" It's always a doubt against the character and the sovereignty of God. And that's why so many times the enemy comes in our mind to get us out of our faith, to pull us from Jesus, being like, "Did God really say that? Is that sin really bad? Maybe you can still do this." It drives.
Forgive them. That just shows the forgiveness. And every time, because of that line that he says, any time I hold hate or resentment in my heart, I think of that line. How after being brutally beaten and tortured and hung up on a cross, that he still looks up and says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Mm-hmm. He still had that compassion in his heart. Imagine that.
I know.
Seriously, imagine that.
He forgives till the very end, and he saves till the very end, too.
Unwavering love.
This guy to the side of him, it was his very last moment. That's why it's truly never too late to get saved either. At the very last moment, he realized who Jesus was. He realized that he was God, and he said, "Please, save me, forgive me." And in an instant, as if the past is forgotten, it's gone. In an instant, he said, I assure you, you're going to be with me today in paradise.
Yeah. Oh, he's so good. And then when he says, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" It just shows that he was really one of us, and that he was in so much pain.
Please.
And he was like, he had like this little moment of just being like, "Oh, I don't want this. I don't want to go." Like, he felt everything we felt. So even though he knew he was going to die and this was all a part of his plan, he still had a moment of like, "I'm in so much pain, I'm being hurt, I'm being tortured, I don't want this." So it's like, I don't know, I just reading this story, I just am so happy for where I am in my life and how I'm really following everything in this Bible, because Look at what he went through for us. Look at the torture and how much he sacrificed for us. How can we not sacrifice and live right and be obedient to him and his word and what he wants for us?
Exactly.
Everything he went through, and we're out here like doing whatever we want and just like, you know, it's just, that's why this story should just, it's such a reminder of just, wow, look at my father, what he did and how much pain he went through. Why, of course I'm going to do the right thing, even when it's hard.
Jenny Allen said something when she was on that actually changed me completely. When
on our
show?
Yeah,
when she said, Jesus died for the sin. And I think when you have an actual understanding of the gravity of the gospel and that it's, yes, it's good news, but it's, it took... It, just like the video we played in the beginning, Sunday is the best day ever. It's the best day of our lives, Sunday. But Friday is really brutal, and it's really horrific what happened to Jesus. And crucifixion ultimately kills the person that's being crucified through suffocation. So when you're being crucified, your whole body, it's a, your arms are up, and so your whole body starts to collapse on itself. And so the only way to take a breath is if you take your feet and you push up on the nails in your feet and you bring your rib cage up enough to actually get a breath. So you get a breath, and then you come back down on your feet, on your nails, and then you continue to not be able to breathe. That's what, so it's actually by suffocation why they die on the cross.
Not only that, but... think about it. He's getting brutally beaten. He's getting slashed. His ribs, he's cut all over his body. He can barely see straight or walk. And then he has to... Do you have any idea how big that cross was? How many... Did they ever say how... It had to be over, what, 200 pounds? Like, more than that, right?
I have no idea.
Well, this cross, if you can imagine, is, it would probably take about 10 men to just carry this cross. And here he is carrying this cross on his back, falling. He can barely see straight, and he has to carry it for miles and miles and miles, and then to get hung up on the cross. And he's doing all this for us. So, you know.
I don't even know how he... I honestly have no words.
And he didn't do it because he's powerful, and he said, he did this out of, as
his
a human,
human
being,
strength, yeah.
His flesh, he did this. So I hope you guys really understand, because I sure did reading this, just made me say to myself, wow, I am just... so blessed that I am living right and doing what he says, because everything he's done for us, I mean, how could we not?
Exactly. He died for the sin, like she said. So when we continue to go on living in sin, we're doing the very thing that Jesus suffered for. Like, he suffered for that. It is such a weird concept to think about, that our Savior, who we all love so much, we do love him and we're so grateful. But that's not enough. How can you go and do the sin that he literally had to go through all that for? And that will help you understand, to overcome sin and overcome living a life that God did not intend you to live. Like, you have to understand what he did and why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
There's just some theology behind. Now, Ari and I spoke earlier about how, you know, a lot of us are Christians our whole life, and we don't even understand why God sent Jesus. We don't understand why Jesus had to die. We don't understand why he needed to resurrect. Like, what's the point of all this? Easter as a whole is a celebration, basically, of our sins being forgiven. Like, that is what Easter represents, our sins being forgiven. And why do our sins need to be forgiven? We come to this place of... so we're going to do a whole episode one time on the forgiveness of your sins and what life was like before Jesus, what life is like in the Old Testament, what life was like when we had to have a high priest. So I'm just going to give you a very short explanation of why God even sent us Jesus in the first place. So basically, before Jesus ever came, we had somebody called a high priest. We have all of us are born after Adam. So all of us are born in with sin in our heart, no matter what. Even if you go your whole life technically not sinning, you're still a sinner because we're born in Adam's bloodline. However, none of us can go on without sinning. It's just not possible. We do it. We fall. We're weak. We are flesh. We wrestle with it. Like it's we cannot go without sinning. So the reason why Jesus had to die is because somebody has to pay for our sins. God, people confuse this all the time because they say God is love, God is love. He is. He is literally the definition of love. He is love manifested. Jesus is love manifested. His word is love manifested. However, while God is love, he's also just as much judge. And God is righteous and he's holy and his character, he does not compromise his character ever. So while he loves us so much because he's holy and righteous, he also has to judge sin. He has to judge it and he has to punish it. Somebody pays for the sins. So before Jesus, there's something from the beginning of time in the spirit world where blood sacrifice has always been a thing. You always atoned for your sins through blood sacrifice. An atonement of sins means you make right an offense that was made. So you have to make it right through blood sacrifice. And there's this scripture in Hebrews 9:22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So we are purified by blood. When back in the day, you used to bring the high priest, he would be in the temple, and there was a place called the Holy of Holies. So as you see in scripture where it says the veil was torn, when Jesus gave up his breath and gave up his body, it says the veil was torn. In the temple, which is the center of the religious organization of Judaism in Israel, there's a veil. And so we could not go past the veil. It was us, man, and then there's a veil, and then the Holy of Holies, which is basically the place, the area in which God's presence dwells. We could never go there. But the priest, the high priest could. The high priest would bring our sacrifice, go to the Holy of Holies, bring our sacrifice, atone for our sins, and he had to do that every year. He atoned for our sins, and he atoned for his own sins because he was a sinner. So basically, it was this perpetual, never-ending cycle of having to atone for our sins through blood sacrifice, aka it wasn't sufficient.
Go ahead. Imagine we're killing lambs for every time we sin.
Imagine if we had to kill a lamb every time we sin. We'd be up in that slaughterhouse all day. Like, we would not. Can you imagine? No, you can't. So in Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life," which literally means soul, "of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you to make atonement for your souls upon the altar, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." And so at this point, we're having to do all this stuff. The law was never sufficient. We needed Jesus. That is why this is a very, probably, you know, theologians could probably explain all of this better than I can, but this is the gospel. This is why Jesus came. Somebody had to take the penalty for our sins. Otherwise, it would have been us and we would all be in hell and it would be really bad. And then if we didn't have Jesus, we always had a middleman. There was always somebody between us and God. We couldn't walk in to the Holy of Holies. And it was just in the specific place where God's presence dwelt. We couldn't get there. There was always something between us. And because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, the veil is torn. So literally when that happened, the veil, the robe, the curtain, it tore in two, literally right down the middle. And this is all, we have proof of this. This is historical fact. This is not made up. This happened. The veil was torn. And then so there was nothing that separated us from God. Like it says in scripture, that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. That's why Jesus came. That's the point.
That's really good.
I
swear, I'm so happy that you just broke all that down, because I feel like people are really going to understand now. When you broke that down to me, I was like, "Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost."
Basically, the veil being torn is that the door of heaven was opened for every single one of us, Jews and Gentiles. Jews being the people from Israel, God's chosen people, the original Jewish people, those people, but also the Gentiles, which is everybody else across the world. It's available for every single one of us through the sacrifice of Jesus.
Well, I wrote this down because a lot of people say, well, how do we know? How do we know that he was resurrected? Like, we don't really know. There were 900 different eyewitnesses that saw him after his death for 40 days. So basically, the night before he went to the cross, he said, I'm going to be going to heaven, but I'm going to send you something, my spirit, that's going to live inside you. And Acts 1 verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I was going to say that's the gift that we have through his resurrection. We have the Holy Spirit. This podcast is sponsored by Dinnerly. Dinnerly is the most affordable meal kit I've ever come across. With my code GGB, you can get up to 25 free meals. With Dinnerly, you can choose from over 100 delicious dishes every week, including a wide selection of cuisines and flavors. From steak dinners to oven-roasted salmon, or even your favorite takeout dupes. You guys, my favorite Dinnerly meal was the vegetarian stuffed pepper casserole. Oh my gosh, you guys have no idea. I'm Italian, so it was just so delicious. It has so much flavor in it. Thank me later. And the recipes are completely customizable. You can choose your own protein, swap in a low-carb side, or make a dish vegetarian. They are also the only meal kit with gluten-free friendly customizations. What I love about Dinnerly is they support improved animal welfare. They signed the Better Chicken Commitment in the United States with the aim to source chickens that enjoy a good quality of life. I'm probably so annoying with how much I talk about Dinnerly, but I just cooked a recipe from Dinnerly last night for Angela and I just loved it. It was time for me to learn how to cook better, and Dinnerly has upped my cooking game. Make cooking exciting, affordable, and easy with Dinnerly. Head to dinnerly.com/offer/GGB and use code GGB for up to 25 free meals. Once again, that's dinnerly.com/offer/GGB for up to 25 free meals, and make sure you use my promo code GGB so they know I sent you. Thank you, Dinnerly, for sponsoring this video.
Just to go off of what I was saying before about the blood, because, you know, for a long time, you know, me and Ari's favorite thing to do is plead the blood of Jesus. We love a good plead the blood of Jesus. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. It's all I do all day, the blood of Jesus. I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you for the blood that was shed. And I've been saying this for such a long time with... And for a long time, I didn't even understand what that meant. Like, what does the blood mean? Like, why is that significant? What does that even mean? The blood of Jesus. Like, why is that important? And I realized that, you know how Jesus is so real to me, you and I? Like, he's so unbelievably real to the point where we're almost a little dramatic with it, because he is real. He's like this. Jesus is almost tangible to us. We can feel him. We have him. We love him. It's like we see him. You know, we see him without seeing him. And the reason why we have Jesus like that is because of the blood. When he died and shed his blood, he brought us, he reconciled us to himself, and so we could have him like that. Mm-hmm. Had he never died, we would never see Jesus the way that we do. That's the point of the blood. And it says in scripture that Jesus made us friends of God. We were enemies with God because we were so sinful and he's so holy. Jesus made us friends with God.
Why is that?
That we are enemies?
Yeah.
Because we were sinful. Our nature in general is rebellious against God. Like, mm-hmm. literally us just in sitting form, we rebel against God. Like, it's just human nature. It's how we are. He's so holy and we're so bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Not for yourself.
I know. Well, hey, you know what? These days my hands are clean. Don't come for me. Ain't nobody sitting around here.
I'm pretty holy these days.
I am definitely holy these days.
Yeah.
But that's why they call him the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I love him.
I love him so much.
Let's read just a teeny bit more from John. This is just about the resurrection, because people also don't really know, why did Jesus have to resurrect? Why did he have to die? But then that wasn't enough. We couldn't just do the blood sacrifice. Why did he have to resurrect? Let me say one thing. You can't kill God. You can't mock God. You can't kill God. Don't even think about it. Anything that is
And honestly, if you want to try to come and mock God, you come for me and I'll show you.
No, seriously. You want to get to God? You better come through us
come
first.
Come through us before you want to mock God. You should see us with
What? Was anyone ever?
Well, it says in the Bible that you don't, you know, whatever.
No, we don't argue the gospel.
No, I don't. But if someone comes for my Jesus, you better believe the earrings are coming out.
Yeah, they are. the resurrection. So in John.
That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds of him in his hands and in his side. They were filled with joy. They saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiving. They are not forgiven. So good.
Jesus appears to Thomas. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hand, put my fingers into them, and place my hand in the wound in his side. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, just as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. First of all, I just want to say, if you're watching this podcast and you believe in Jesus, I want you to know that you only believe in Jesus and you only believe in his word because the Holy Spirit has revealed Jesus to you. So you are one of Jesus's 12. You are one of Jesus's people, his children, and you believe him without seeing him. And that is one of the most beautiful things. And just on behalf of Jesus, we're so grateful that you guys believe in him. We love him so much. I mean, he comes with holes in his hands. One day we're going to see Jesus again. He's going to come riding on the clouds and we're going to see him with nails in his hands and in his feet, and that's how we're going to recognize him.
And he's going to take us all in his arms. I always
picture bye that. Bye everybody.
I'm going I'm Jesus. Gone. I just imagine just hugging him and looking up at him and just
so me and God much. Are going to have to talk about a lot. I'm going to be like, hey, this time and this time and this time. You guys know that Ari and I are the biggest nail girls ever. You guys were so happy that today's sponsor is Olive & June. We love getting our nails done at home instead of at the salon. Olive & June's manicure system has everything you need for salon quality manicure in one box. They have salon grade tools designed just for DIY nails. You can customize it with your choice of 6 polishes, and this polish, it doesn't chip and it lasts 7 days or more. It breaks down to just $2 a manicure. And you know what? What I love most about Olive & June's manicure system is their cuticle care. Because you guys know, I've told you before, that my cuticles can be a little dry from time to time, but my nails look better with Olive & June than when I even went to the salon. And not to mention, it's so much cheaper and I don't have to leave my house to get my nails done, and that makes me really happy. My favorite from Olive & June are their press-ons. Guys, they seriously look so real, they last so long, and they have so many sizes. The removal is so easy, you can legitimately just remove them with warm water. Olive & June's quick dry polish dries in about 1 minute. It lasts for 5 days or more. It's full coverage in just 1 or 2 coats, and it's offered in 40 plus cruelty-free and vegan polishes. You guys are gonna wanna visit oliveandjune.com/ggb for 20% off your first system. That's OliveAndJune.com/ggb for 20% off your first system. The purpose of this book, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. And it says that the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Listen, I'm happy for the disciples and I'm happy for the apostles, but I am not going to say that I'm not so jealous that they got to be, like, not only did they get to have him for a few years side by side, then he also got to visit them.
If I could just be Mary Magdalene for a day.
I know.
You know, she loved him so much.
I know.
I even watching The Passion of the Christ, seeing her, she was so distraught. She followed him to the end, and she was loyal to the end.
Mm-hmm. Just like you. Truly.
Thank you.
You are so loyal to him. You love him so much, even when it's the hardest to be loyal. You are so loyal.
I love you so much. You are too.
I love you. Thank you. So basically, you guys, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Eventually, in a couple days, or maybe you're watching this on Easter, Sunday is coming. The reason why Jesus had to resurrect is because Jesus defeated sin and death once and for all. By resurrecting and coming back to life, he made it possible to where that this life is not our last life. There is a heaven that is after this life that is so, first of all, probably much better than this one. Of course it is, because there's no weeping, mourning. There's only rejoicing in heaven. You're with all of your loved ones that you've lost. Heaven is going to be the most magical, beautiful place in the world. Jesus is preparing heaven for us right now. He's up there. He is alive, by the way. He's alive. He is risen. He is not dead. He's not in that tomb. His body might be cold, but the Spirit of God is alive and well. And he's with us right here, right now. And he's with you guys in your room right now. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's preparing a way for us. He's making a way. He's making our home in heaven. And he's just waiting till the day that he comes and he returns and he brings us all back to him.
You know, my biggest fear was death. And, you know, I've lost a lot of loved ones and the grief, you know. But I just think of, I know what it is now. I know that he is just preparing such a beautiful place for everyone that loves him. And I'm not scared anymore. I feel so comforted with all my loved ones in heaven.
Oh, I love that. Art.
I just know they're safe. And so that pain that I held in my heart for so long, because even in your prayer request, I was reading them, and I know a lot of you are grieving, and it's really hard, and I won't ever take that away from you. I know what death is like and having to lose your loved ones. But I know that there is a God and a heaven. And that should just make you feel so comforted in those moments of grief, that he has your loved ones and he has a place for us, and we're going to be with him. And all the suffering and the pain and the hardships and the murders that we see in this world, we're living in a dark, dark world. And this is just a little glimpse of it. This is so temporary that we're living in.
Yeah.
And we have this eternal life that we can't even fathom how incredible it's going to be. So I just hope that you feel comforted, and that brings you some peace to know that, you know, because I didn't know that. I was always in such fear of, like, getting sick and death and my loved ones. And I just have such a peace now because of that.
Thank you, Jesus. Of course. Thank you, Jesus. It's so true. This life is so minuscule compared to what God has for us in eternity. And that should be both motivating and comforting. Mm-hmm. Comforting to be like, we suffer here, we won't suffer in heaven. And that's the absolute fact of the fact truth. But also it should be motivating, because our time here is so short, that let's do whatever we can to fulfill God's will in our lives while we're here. That should be our only goal, our only aim. And that's true freedom. I want to say that through the resurrection of Jesus, he freed all of us from sin and death, so that death, the grave, could not hold Jesus, and the grave cannot hold us either. Friday was a really, really horrific, difficult day. And it's heavy and it's dark and it's heartbreaking what our Savior had to go through. But Sunday, is coming. Fact. It's not a myth. It's not hypothetical. It's not maybe. Sunday is coming, and Sunday is the best day of our life. You might have a Friday that you're living in right now. I don't know what your Friday is, whether it's a breakup or some sort of heartache, or you lost a loved one, or you lost your job, or you are living in a constant, perpetual state of Friday in your mind that is tormenting you, and it's the worst mental health battle you've ever faced in your life. Sunday is coming. For those of us in Christ Jesus, Sunday is coming. Resurrection is on the other side. Your grave is not holding you down. Resurrection is here, and I want you guys to receive the freedom that you get in Jesus. It's the only place you find true freedom. The grave will not hold you down either, in Jesus' name.
If God can raise a dead Jesus, let me tell you something. He has the power to rise up your broken relationship, your broken heart, your broken marriage, anything that is lost from your life. He has that power to redeem you, to heal you, to fix every single broken part of you in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. What is the thing that you need resurrecting in your life? Is it your marriage? Don't give up on your marriage. Let your marriage and your relationship, ask God to bring His resurrection power into that situation. Is it your family that's being torn apart, split apart, and you guys need reconciliation? Guess what? God will redeem that as well. Is it your mental health? Oh boy, do we know that God resurrects a bad mental health. Is it your addiction? Because God will get rid of that addiction and resurrect the beautiful parts about you again. And honestly, death, in a sense, is a really good thing. The death of Jesus, as painful and horrifying as it was a really great thing. Because like I said, resurrection is on the other side. Letting the old us die is the best thing that ever happened. That's the best death I've ever seen in my life, is the old Angela, who used to think the way that she did, who used to do the things that she wanted, because the resurrected Angela, the one that lives in Jesus, is the best version of me that could possibly be alive right now.
Sister, God, preach. That's right.
I love you, Mom.
It's good. No, it's good. And the reason why we are resurrected and we are the two girls that we are today is because we have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that saves us, that redeems us. And we cannot do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We are not meant to live a life by our own strength.
Yeah.
God wants to have a personal connection with you. He wants His Spirit, His love, and His power inside of you. And you will have a supernatural advantage when you have that power of Him inside of you.
Let's talk about the Holy Spirit just for a second, because one of the reasons that Jesus had to die and resurrect is because when He gave His life up, He did not leave us orphans. He then poured out the Holy Spirit upon the earth, and anybody who receives Jesus receives the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it says in Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's something that I have experienced for the first time this year, and it is a power that I can't even describe. It is a supernatural power to get me through, to give me peace, to the way I speak, my boldness, everything. That's life.
Amen.
Having the Holy Spirit dwell inside of you.
I have seen firsthand what having boldness from the Holy Spirit does to somebody. Somebody can watch these videos from our testimony video to today and see the work that the Holy Spirit has done in you. The empowerment, the boldness with which you speak, your words flow, like the Holy Spirit has a hold of your tongue in a way that every word you speak is edifying to the people that watch. It literally is so you breathe life when you open your mouth.
Thank you. That
is your gift.
Thank you so much.
No, I love you. I do.
We all have access to the Holy Spirit when we repent and we get baptized. And like Angela said, when I first started this, I couldn't even form sentences. I was a scared, timid girl. And because I just, am so submitted to him. I have a boldness because he dwells within me. And you guys, you can't get through life without the power, without his power. It's impossible.
There's simply, we can see resurrection in our own life just in the sense that we're once dead in sin. I literally have a journal entry, and I'll read it to you guys one day, where I was living in habitual sin, and it was so hard for me what I was dealing with, because I was in this tension of having lived a certain way my whole life and it not even seeming like a possibility that I could stop doing what I was doing, and to where I was writing in this journal saying, and it literally breaks my heart, I'm sitting there being like, Jesus, I am dead. I am dead in sin. I'm dead in my spiritual life. I'm talking to you, but it's as if my words are empty because the shame and the guilt are putting a complete block between us. I was dead in sin, but through Jesus, he literally resurrected my spiritual life. He resurrected my soul, and he resurrected my body through his power.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way with my feelings of unworthiness, feeling like I'm not good enough. How am I going to make it through? What am I going to do with my life? He resurrected all of that. He put a new light. He put literally a new life in me. He put light into me. He literally pulled me out of the darkness. I'm telling you, even if I'm down bad, I am walking in light. And that's what I want every single one of you guys to get to, that point where you are living in nothing but the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, if you're not connected to God, you're just existing. And we don't want to just be on this earth just existing. We want to be connected to God, and we want to be living in his will.
Amen. I don't know which version it's in, whether it's John, Luke, or Matthew, but there's a point in which Jesus's last words are, "It is finished." And when he says it is finished, he's alluding to the fact that he completed his Father's will. It is finished, that they will never need another animal sacrifice ever again for the forgiveness of our sins. It is finished. All of the prophecies from the Old Testament, if you guys haven't read the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament, while Jesus isn't in there, he is, because it literally all points to Jesus. And there are so many times where prophecies were made that predicted Jesus's death in so many specific parts about his death. One of the parts is that they said that none of his bones would be broken. And it's true. Usually when the three people were up there to get crucified, all of them, they went to go break their bones. They were going to break their knees to kill them once and for all. And when they got to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they pierced his side instead. And it fulfilled the prophecy that he would have a slit in his side, and that none of his bones would be broken. All of this, you guys, this is real. This is not fake.
I'm telling you, God's love, it transforms you. And when that love of Jesus hits your heart, you will never be the same. I want everyone to have him in your heart, because it is going to change your life.
Amen. And you know what, guys? We really want your life to change today, if possible. I just really quickly want to read Romans 5, 6 to 11. "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright, meaning a good person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God." We want to invite you guys today to do, this is our favorite part of every episode that we do. We want to invite anyone who's never accepted Jesus before. I hope that in the last hour that our Lord and Savior Jesus revealed himself to you in a way that has created a stirring in your heart, where you see that the things you've heard throughout your life about Jesus, they're true. He did die. He was crucified. He was buried. And he did raised from the dead 3 days later, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he left us his Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is available and ready for you to receive. All you have to do is accept Jesus, and you get to spend, he's preparing a place for you in heaven right now. You haven't even accepted him yet, but he loves you so much that he says, I know my child will. I know my child, the sheep, they hear my voice and they come to me. And if you hear Jesus's voice right now, you guys, and you want to receive peace and joy and love and hope and self-control and all of these amazing things, you guys have no idea what life is like with Jesus. We are your sisters who have walked without him, and it is so incredibly painful. Who the Son sets free is free indeed, and we want you to receive freedom today and the resurrection power that you receive through Jesus.
Heavenly Father, I believe the scripture that says that Jesus Christ is your eternal Son. I believe he went to the cross and died for my sins. I confess to you that I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I'm asking you to save me. I'm trusting you to do it right now. I accept the forgiveness of my sins. I accept your gift of salvation. I accept you as my personal Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and be the Lord of my life, in Jesus' name.
If you just received Jesus for the first time, welcome to the family. If you didn't have the courage to do it right then, you can always rewind. That's the beauty of YouTube. You can go back and say it and re-say it and say it whenever you want. You guys, God loves us so much that he literally sent his only Son to die on the cross for us. I'm just grateful to Jesus.
Me too. And I'm grateful to you guys, and I'm so proud of you guys. And, you know, just remember, we are not meant to go through this life by our own might. And we have a Lord and Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and resurrected, and we have him living inside of us, and we have access to him at all times, to those who believe in him. And I hope that makes you feel so safe and protected, because that's what he does. He loves you so much, and he's protecting you, and he's there with you. And anything you're going through, all the hardships that you're going through, he is right with you. And I hope that brings you some peace and comfort. And just know that he loves you so much.
Amen. He really does. As we head into Easter, you guys, just spend the next couple of days just loving on Jesus, focus on Jesus. I'm personally going to do a social media fast. I'm going to do a food fast. I'm going to abstain from food from Friday to Sunday. I'm really just going to dive into scripture. And I encourage you guys to watch The Passion of the Christ, watch The Chosen, keep your eyes on Jesus. Just focus on him and see him bring this Easter celebration to life in your mind.
Yeah, this is going to be my first Easter where I'm completely devoted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're gonna fast on Good Friday. So if you guys want to fast with us, please comment in the comments on how your fast went. And
just focus on Jesus.
Focus on Jesus the whole weekend.
I just really want to read, I'm so sorry, Isaiah 53:4-6. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried, it was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, he was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole, he was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We all left God's paths to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. It is through his stripes that we are healed.
We love you. And I just want to say one more thing before we go. We have been seeing all of your comments and all of your prayer requests.
Yeah.
And we have been praying for you, and we feel everything you're going through. And Jesus sees you, and he hears the cries of your hearts, and he's with you. And again, he loves you, and he's with you, and he's walking through it with you. And one thing that when I sat with God and we were praying for you guys, is I just, for whatever you're going through, I see you guys being a vessel for someone. Whatever you're going through, you're going to help someone else through what you're going through. You're going to be a voice, and you're going to be a vessel from that for them. And you're going to be someone's strength. So we just love you so much, and we're praying for you.
We love you guys so much. On this Easter weekend, truly, 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 may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Jesus turn his face towards you and give you peace. God, do we love you guys. Thank you for letting us do this.
Thank you. Peace, guys. Peace. That's the goal, okay?
Peace, and don't let the enemy steal your joy, okay? Because he wants to show Ben.
Yeah, especially on this Easter Sunday, because we can have some weird family dynamics. I know that the families are coming together, or you're going through a breakup. It's your first year without your person that, you know, you were with. So that can be hard. All of this, you know, sometimes holidays can just be hard. But let's not forget what it's really about, okay?
Amen. Love you guys. Love you guys. Much.